walked off the field.
Blog Talk Radio.
He was, I don't know. He was irritated about something and then just walked off the field. They kicked him off the team and everything.
Didn't that, not to change the subject real quick, because I'm going to get back to what you just said. Uh-huh. Didn't that Malnecki fight peak at almost 3 million viewers?
I got it as the average. Yeah, I think it did, but I know the average was what I put down.
Let's throw that in there. It was like peaked at 2.6 or 2.7? Yeah, 2.6 or 7.
Right,
so
cool.
What game did you go to?
We went to the Bengals game, the Bengals-Chiefs game.
Okay.
And then that guy plays for the Bucks with Tom Brady. Tom Brady tried to talk him out of leaving and stuff like that. The guy just took his gear off and left. Third quarter of the game. Got him on my fantasy team.
So here's the thing. Just like when Scottie Pippen wouldn't go in that game.
Yeah.
This is what these guys got to think. They got to remember this. Okay. This shit will fucking hang on you forever now. Follow you around. Like, this is something will always come up now. And it'll always be a detriment to this guy. It'll always be something that people can look to and say, remember when this guy did this? He's not a team player. It's going to come back to haunt them.
Why is it always that they can go out, shoot up people, beat women, children, whatever, but the minute they walk out on their team, that's the end of it? You know what I mean? Like, that's like the curse. That's like, you know, that's where we draw the line.
I don't like judging people, but here's the thing with them fucking NFL players. They're fucking very questionable characters, man, the way they act.
Oh, for sure. That guy has to have CTE. You just don't do that without having CTE or something.
There's something wrong with these guys, bro.
Yeah, there's got to be. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
What time is
broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
Happy New Year, and we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we're going to talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we got a great show for you today. And if you guys want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about who's next for Tyson Fury, because it looks like that water is getting a little bit murky over there. So I don't know who's next. I don't know, but we'll talk about it. We'll see what's happening. First, we're going to get started with the best beef. This was the best pay-per-view of the year so far. Would you agree with that?
No.
Wow.
But it wasn't.
There's no other pay-per-views this year. 2022.
There'll be more.
Hadn't even been pay-per-view. It's the best pay-per-view so far, right? Oh, that's rough, man. Wow.
Oh, so far. Well,
you're just laying
again,
a egg on him, man. That's cold.
Again, it's
you're
the only pay-per-view.
Cold, you're a cold fish, my man. That's
corny,
messed
man.
Up.
Corny.
You're a cold fish, man.
It's the moment of truth. Moment of truth.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to watch Cobra Kai. I can't believe you guys binged it without
me. You got a shirt?
Yeah, Cobra Kai, son.
I got to get one of those.
You got to get one.
Where'd you get that shirt? Where'd you get that?
Online somewhere. I don't know if I got it from Amazon or what, man. But, yeah, you got to check it out.
I'm gonna Google. I'm going to try to
Have Brian send you one, man. I'm sure.
I was about to say.
Have Brian. I'm sure Brian. Brian likes sending you clothes. He likes dressing you up, man.
Brian and Jesse need to hook me up, man.
Yeah, they like dressing you up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, everybody likes.
They like dolling you up, you know what I mean?
Everyone likes doing things for the beat, man. he's a good guy, man. He deserves it.
He's a good guy. He deserves it.
Come on.
Notorious said Brian bought Eric the shirt.
You know, what it all boils down to, just think you're jealous.
It is.
It's your envy. It's your
absolutely.
Envy just seeping through.
Beeb envy. Beeb envy is what we call it. Absolutely. You hit the nail right on the head, as usual. All right, let's talk about this pay-per-view, my man. Fox pay-per-view, Louis Ortiz versus Charles Martin. Ortiz TKOs Charles Martin in the sixth round. Listen, man, it was a pretty entertaining fight. It was, you know, I didn't expect much out of it, man. Charles Martin fought Ortiz in the first and the fourth round. Ortiz used his jab to kind of get back in the fight, caught Martin in the sixth. Do you see Martin when he went down and cut his hand in the ropes and just, like, tied himself up?
Yeah, it was kind of.
It was weird, right?
It's bizarre, yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen that happen.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Very bizarre.
Right, you know. I got to be honest, man. I was actually more impressed with Martin in this fight. I thought he was going to get run over. I didn't think Ortiz really looked that good, to be honest.
No, he looked vulnerable at spots, right? Getting out boxed.
He did. He really did. He did not look, to me, he did not look good.
And let me ask you this. The punches that knocked him down, again, I wasn't being hit by them. I'm sure they hurt. But they didn't look exceptionally explosive or sharp enough to knock a fighter down. And again, I'm like I said, probably would have knocked me down.
Right. I mean, listen, we're not in there. Obviously, I get what you're saying. We're not in there.
That jab did not look exceptionally snappy. And
that first round knockdown didn't look that great.
So you have to question Ortiz. Is there too many miles on that odometer? And
not to mention, what is he? 50 years old? You know,
they say he's 50, but
how old? Realistically, I mean, you look at that guy. What do they bill his age at?
42. He just to me,
he's the most shot out 42-year-old I've ever seen in my life, man. Come on.
Think about this. Think about this. Let me just say this. Okay, first of all, he's got no gray hairs.
He's got no hair, does he?
No, he's got hair. He's got a nice cut.
He's
got no gray hairs, right?
More than I can say, I'll tell you why.
He's got no wrinkles, right?
Have you seen his face?
I just don't think he looks...
It looks like it's suffering from erosion. What are you talking about?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think he looks more than 45.
Oh, come on, dude.
How old are you?
I am 48.
All right, he's a couple years younger than you.
Oh, how dare you? Wow, that was cold.
He doesn't look that old, though, man, to me. He looks about 45.
He looks like he's 50, son.
Who looks older, Ortiz or me? Be honest.
Oh, Ortiz. You kidding me? Ortiz looks older. Absolutely.
I need this fucking compliment. I love it.
Are we having trouble with the sound here? Tommy M said, what's happened to the sound? I don't know. I think we're okay. I don't know.
Should be okay.
Yeah. All right. Anywho, yeah, man. So where does Ortiz go from here, man? Do you think,
he's ranked in the top 10, bro.
Yeah. He's going to get another shot at somebody. You know what I mean? He's going to get another shot at somebody. But, like,
it'll be a mandatory for somebody at some point.
Man, I don't know. He looked rough the other night, man. And Charles Martin, I mean, listen, he looked better than I'm used to seeing him. But, you know, I'd rather see Charles Martin fight somebody with the upper echelon of the heavyweights than Ortiz. But I don't know.
Gotta give Charles Martin credit because he overexceeded my expectations. I think his performance was not bad. It seemed like he had a great game plan. He was boxing very well from the outside. He looked quick, but
sloppy.
But he wasn't really getting a lot of leverage on these shots.
So is it just me, or does he look sloppy when he fights? He fights sloppy.
He has a tendency to throw a lot of arm punches.
Yes.
He doesn't always snap the punches, and doesn't turn his body into the shot. Doesn't sit down on the shot, you know?
Yeah.
He looks very, I don't want to insult the guy, but he looks very uncoordinated at times when he's boxing.
Very amateurish, I think. Almost like he hadn't learned the basics. And I know he knows the basics. You don't get to his level and not know the basics, okay?
Yeah.
But I don't know if it was if it gets to be fatigue, he gets comfortable in there, what? But he's not, to me, he's not as tight as he should be on his shots. He's not as tight as he should be. on his mechanics, movement, et cetera. But he looked good for as long as the fight lasted, man. He got caught. Anybody can get caught. It's heavyweights. It is what it is, you know. So, but overall, good fight, man. Let me ask you a question, Beeb, because you paid for this fight, even though we did an intervention and everything like that with you, and you chose the pay-per-view, and we all disowned you for a couple of days. But was the pay-per-view worth it?
$40? I would say yes.
Really?
I would say yes.
Really, though? Did you fall asleep
bad.
During the fight? You fell asleep. How good could I have been?
I DVR him because I have a hard time staying up late at night, bro. I have a hard time, like.
Just go to the casinos and stuff like that. You ain't got enough time to stand up. You stay up all night. Party all night from what I hear.
That's when I'm caffeined up, though, man. Then there's a lot of honey dips around me. When I get the honey dips, man, I feed off their energy. The testosterone starts spiking. I get an energy boost when I'm in that environment. You know what I mean? So,
I don't think it was worth the $40. I'll be honest.
You asked me where does Ortiz go from here? Well, Martin was ranked number one by the IBF, and Ortiz was ranked number nine.
He was ranked number one.
Yeah, so but that was listed as an IBF eliminator.
Jesus.
Now this again, the sanctioning bodies never cease to amaze me. You would think that like Hrgović and Martin would have been an eliminator because Hrgović is ranked number two by the IBF, right?
What they do?
I'll tell you what they do, because I've talked
to the IBF before. The way it was explained to me that they take the number one contender, the highest ranked contender, and they say we're going to have an eliminator. Do you want to fight an eliminator? Yeah. Well, they go to the second guy. Hey, do you want to fight? No. They go to the third guy. Do you want to fight? So they went all the way down to Ortiz. That's the way it was explained. That's how they do it.
Okay. Because Ortiz is ranked number six by the WBC. Wilder's ranked number one, right? Coming off of back-to-back losses. With all due respect, I'm not here to insult the guy. But it just
sounds like you're insulting the guy.
You better be honest. Let's look at these WBA rankings and see if Ortiz is in there.
It's funny how...
Yeah, he's not in the WBA ranking. So he's ranked in the IBF and the WBC, and he's ranked like number 15 by the WBO. So he's right back in the thick of things, to be perfectly honest.
He's in the mix, and I'll tell you what, I mean, he's a good... he's a big name for those guys. He's a good name. Not a big name, but a good name.
Yeah.
He could be looking... I mean... And, I would like to see Charles Martin get another shot. I don't know how they ranked him at number one. I was shocked that they ranked him at number one, but I guess it is what it is. But I would like to see Charles Martin fight another legit guy. You know who I would like to see him fight? I would like to see Charles Martin fight Johnny Rice. Johnny Rice looked great, man. This is a guy who's got, what, six losses? You know, I mean, the guy that got six losses, right, he comes out, turns everything around. Because this is in a time where, you know, if you have a loss, your career is washed. You know what I mean? Like, oh, no, the guy sucks. He's got a loss already. He's got two losses. Guy's got six losses on a win streak and everything like that. Fought Michael Coffey for the second time. Rice wins a unanimous decision, 97-93 twice and 99-91. It was a good win for Rice, man, and he just seems to be getting better. He really does.
His confidence.
Solid, but yeah, his confidence, that's it.
Coffey looks so much slower than him.
He did not look good.
He looked befuddled in there. He looked very slow, couldn't get off. Didn't look like he really knew what he wanted to do in there. He had a hard time figuring Rice out, you know? Rice has a way of throwing, like, punches, but he's a hard guy to read in there. It's hard to pick up on this guy's rhythm because he's just so quirky, jerky. He's constantly, you know, moving and slipping and sliding, and you just can't time when those shots are coming out. At least
Those are the worst guys to fight.
Yeah,
those are the worst.
He's a very crafty guy. You know, very crafty.
And you
may not be the greatest athlete in the world or the most explosive guy in the world or any of that, but there's a method to his madness. He's very savvy in there.
Yeah. You know, and you know yourself from being in the gym and stuff like that, the herky-jerky guys, I mean, like, you can time speed. You can time a lot of things, but when they're like that, it's hard to time. You know, when their shoulders are moving, when they're, you know, it's – and they're just – they're jittery. It's that they're hard to time, man.
When a guy stops and starts, you can get a feel for when he's starting and when he's going to stop and reset. When a guy's constantly moving and blah, 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 you know, like, you don't know what he's going to do. You're just trying to time all that movement, right? It's constant.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, man. It's like, it is. It's a constant motion. I mean, it's hard to deal
with. It's a hard thing to figure out.
Really tough style. Really tough to deal with. I you know, and even like the fighters that are just really quick with just fast hands and fast jabs and everything like that, you know, even that is like, it's tough, you know, but not like this. This is a different kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a whole different animal.
Yeah, absolutely. Tommy M says, let's go Bearcats. How dare you? The Bearcats, Alabama squeaked by the Bearcats in this national title playoff. They barely beat, I don't know if you you watched or whatever, but the refs completely cost the Bearcats the game. So it is what it is, you know. You got to win some, I guess you got to lose some. And I think they were favored. I think Alabama was favored, but they barely got past us, so I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Frank Sanchez versus Carlos Negron. Sanchez wins the unanimous decision over Negron. Let me tell you about Sanchez here, Beeb. Sanchez is the most boring fighter I've seen in a long time. He doesn't do a thing for me, man. I would rather watch him watch a fight than to watch him fight. He's terrible. He really is, man.
Yeah, not a fan-friendly style.
No.
Reminds me of a heavyweight version of Guillermo Rigondeaux.
I wouldn't even go that far because he's not – he's completely – at least Rigondeaux was – you know, you learn from him, you go watch him, and you're like, wow, this guy really has a lot of talent.
He has flashes of excitement in certain fights that he's been in. And he,
yeah,
that Donaire fight was very entertaining. It's like Sanchez just fights no sense of urgency at all. Like no – I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
he's like in cruise control.
He's very defensive minded. Doesn't throw a lot, doesn't land a lot, just very defensive minded. He's got a lot of work to do, to me anyway, before he actually gets into the upper echelon and ready for a title shot and everything like that. Because as a promoter, how do you promote this guy? Nobody's going to want to see. This guy is a tough sell. And then how do you get people for him? How do you get opponents for him?
Yeah.
You know, it's a tough sell.
Definitely a tough sell.
You know, it just is what it is. Do you remember a fighter by the name of Marty Jakubowski?
Yes.
He's the one that fought Chavez. He was like a welterweight or a junior.
The 140 pounder.
140, junior welter. And when he fought Chavez, I think he was like 60 and 0. And he had like maybe 10 or 15 knockouts on his resume.
Yes.
And you watch him, he was a good fighter. I mean, he was very, very talented, but he had no pop at all. You know, he was just looking to hit and move, hit and move, hit and move.
Yeah.
Reminds me a lot of Sanchez in the way that, but Sanchez is a heavyweight version of that, and he doesn't throw as many punches. He's not as exciting. There's a lot of downside to this guy, man. And as I mentioned, this Marty Jakubowski was 60-0. Nobody had heard of this guy. So.
Yeah.
There you go. Notorious VC said it best, Sanchez is really bad TV. I getcha. Absolutely. Gerald Washington versus Ali Demirezin. Demirezin gets the TKO over Washington in the eighth round. Now, Washington's corner stopped the fight here. Might have been a little early, but that is what it is. You know, he wasn't going to win in any way. Victor Faust versus Iago Calazze. Faust scored a second-round TKO in a back-and-forth fight. Both fighters had been knocked down multiple times. Ref stopped it in the second round. So there you go. Salute to everybody in the chat. Welcome to a brand-new year here. So I appreciate everybody coming out on a Monday. Now, we'll return to our normal time Sunday next week. But I was at the football game yesterday. I was at the Bengals game. So by the time we got back, it was like 64,000 people there. So by the time the traffic and everything got back, it was like I was late. So
yeah, you didn't have time to come back.
No. Let's go to the upcoming fights here. January 7th from Orlando. I believe this is Friday on Showtime. This is like their Showbox series or whatever. Luis Nunez versus Carlos Arrieta, 10 rounds, lightweights. Ali Ismailov versus Israel Dufus. Is it Dufus? It can't be Dufus. It's got to be Dufus, right? It can't be Dufus. I just refuse to say that. I mean, disrespectful.
Okay.
Light heavyweight, so the 10 rounds, light heavyweight. Starlin Castillo versus Attar. Aaron Sion, 8 rounds, lightweights. And there you go. So not a whole lot of big names on there, but up-and-comers. They're always good up-and-comers. And what do they say? Like, most of the people that are on that show box end up with titles.
Yeah.
You know, they end up with title shots. They're always pretty good, you know. So
yeah,
there you go. There's a fight in Denmark with that nobody knows. I mean, nobody knows anybody on there. So I'm not even going to go over that. Looking ahead, the next couple of weeks from now, January 15th, Joe Smith versus Callum Johnson. I love that fight, by the way.
Yes, good fight.
I love that fight, by the way. That's amazing. Let's see what else here. January 22nd, Gary Russell versus Mark McSayo. So Gary Russell will be making his yearly appearance. And Chris Eubank Jr. on January 29th versus Liam Williams. Also Clarissa Shields on that card versus Emma Cozin. So Shields fighting. Savannah Marshall, interestingly enough, is also on that undercard. So it looks like they're going to try to make that. That fight is in Wales, South Cardiff, Wales.
Wow.
Cardiff, Wales, excuse me. And they're still advertising that fight. Now, check this out. So they're still advertising the fight for Junior Makabu and Basio Amchunu for January 29th in Warren, Ohio. Now, I've called the Packard Music Hall for tickets for that because it's in Warren, Ohio. It's in Ohio. I figure I'll go, right? Called about tickets. They said tickets have not gone on sale yet. Guys, it's January 3rd. Typically, tickets are on sale by now. And I was talking to the guy at Packard Music Hall. He said I think they're going to see what kind of response they get before they actually – so this might not even happen. So that's what I'm – you know, that's what I'm wondering. So this whole thing might not even happen. Florian Segreis, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. He says, Happy New Year, guys. Wishing you and your families all the best in 2022.
Yeah.
Shout out from Switzerland. Thank you so much, my man.
I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah.
But nice to see you, brother.
Absolutely, man. I hope your New Year went well. I hope your holidays went well.
Exactly. Thank you so much, brother.
All right, guys. Remember to hit the like button. Hit the like button if you're in the chat watching us or if you come across us after the live show, man. Just make sure to hit the like button. Subscribe to the channel, man. Well, nobody's going to force you to watch it. You know, but if you subscribe, it really helps us out and all that other good stuff. So, yeah, we'd appreciate it. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe to us. And, again, doesn't cost anything. Doesn't cost anything. But since we're on the subject of cost, Beeb, since we're on the subject of cost, all right, this helps you out tremendously. This helps us out tremendously, too. But it's all about you. It's all about our audience and what we can do for you, all right? Talking about Manscaped, Beeb, it's a brand new year. What are you doing? Where's your Manscaped gear? You Manscaped up before the show, right? Oh, there it is. Oh, look at that. He had it ready, son. He had it ready. The Manscaped
When I went to the massage parlor this Saturday, man.
Oh!
I was all ready to go, man.
Whoa.
I was all shaved up, man.
They like what you can do over there from what I heard.
They liked it. They liked it. They didn't have to go through the forest.
Did you have to tip them any extra for, you know?
Nah.
They just do that for free? That's standard. That's all included in the price? It's like a one price thing?
Standard fee, man. Standard fee.
Standard fee, huh?
I'm a regular. You're a regular. You get taken care of, man.
I bet. I've heard that.
Ling likes me, man.
All right. Did you say Ling likes you?
Yeah.
What's the matter with you? Stop it. What's wrong with you? Exciting news. from our friends at Manscaped. They just launched their fourth generation performance package. The ultimate package includes the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the 4.0. Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming, have done it again to make your grooming game next level. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the new Performance Package 4.0 by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code RINGSIDEREPORTER. The Performance Package 4.0 by Manscaped has arrived, and, man, was it worth the wait. Inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance briefs, and a travel bag to hold all the goodies. The new Performance Package 4.0 includes the Lawnmower 4.0. This trimmer, Beeb, is insane. We both have one. It's the greatest trimmer ever, no?
Yeah.
Gotta be. It's gotta be, right? The fourth-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-and-off switch, and can engage a travel lock, and gives you the ability to turn the 4,000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Did I mention this trimmer is waterproof, too? You thought that was good, but you want to take your grooming game even further to the next level? The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor, powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks and snags. Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations, their Crop Reserver deodorant, before leaving the house, and Crop Reviver toner for a mid-game check. Manscaped even threw in the two free gifts to the Performance Package, the Manscaped Boxers and Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code RINGSIDEREPORTER at manscaped.com. That's 20% off, free shipping with the code RINGSIDEREPORTER, one word, at manscaped.com. Your balls have been through enough this year. Treat them with the best tools. There you go. All right. Let's get back to it, babe. And also, guys, too, man, remember, man, go get that stuff. Go get the Manscaped. You don't have to buy the Performance Package. You don't have to any of that, but you get their stuff is really good. And we've given it out. Everybody loves it. We've used it ourselves. We've given it as gifts. Everybody loves
it. Yeah, a lot of compliments on that stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is. It's really good
stuff. A lot of
positive
feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's go to the phones. We got Ringside Robert. Ringside.
Hello, guys. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Robert.
Happy New Year, Robbie.
And thank you for your
glad
victory
you're putting
over
some respect
Canada.
On Beeb's name.
Thank
or
you
on
for
Robbie's
your
name,
victory.
Beeb,
thank you for your victory yesterday over Kansas City. I appreciate that.
That's right. That's what we do here in Cincinnati, baby.
Yeah.
Did you watch? Did you watch the Bearcats in that national championship? That semifinal.
No, I did not, because Eric, I knew it was going to be a blowout, and it was. It was 27-6.
Well, it was okay. Well, let me just tell you this. It was a lot closer than the score indicated. Number one, and number two, the referees in that game were awful. They cost us the game. They cost us at least three or four touchdowns.
Okay. since I didn't see it, I'm not gonna go into it. But Alabama will get another national title because they'll destroy Georgia like they did the first time around. Let me tell you, I also bought the pay-per-view and I thought it was well worth the $40. But I will tell you a few things. I think Luis Ortiz's legs are shot, and I think if he gets in there with anybody with any kind of significant punching power and they hit him, he's going to stay down. Martin was able to hit him, but he wasn't able to keep him down. And Father Time.
Do you think he should find something else to do?
No. He'll find something else to do when he loses to a bigger name opponent. The one that needs to find something else to do is Gerald Washington. He's done. He has no business continuing to fight. He looked absolutely awful. And let me tell you about Frank Sanchez. Frank Sanchez looked awful in this fight, but the last fight when he fought a F.A. Ajagba, he looked outstanding. Okay. So I don't know what that says about Ajagba or what that says about Sanchez. But I expected Frank to show up and look a lot better than what he did. And he
looked horrible.
And especially when you put him in a co-main event, he did not look good at all. But, hey, for $40, I'm not going to complain. However, when they charge double for the Keith Thurman pay-per-view, I'm not going to buy that because that ain't going to be worth it. Mario Barrios is moved up to 147, and he had difficulty competing at 140. I think that's a walk in the park for Keith Thurman. And that's unfortunate because Keith has been out of the ring for 31 months. The last time he was in the ring was July of 2019 when he lost to Manny Pacquiao. So this fight ain't going to show a whole lot about Keith Thurman. So I think we're going to have to wait on Keith Thurman until he gets in with somebody better also. But I advise people right now, do not reserve your spot for February 5th because that will be a waste of cash.
I thought the $40 was a waste of cash, I got to be honest. I mean, that was a fight. That was a main event. Now, the main event turned out to be okay, but that was a fight that I might not even watched if it was on Fox.
Well, you probably
you
probably waited till it came on YouTube, Eric. I know you, but, you know, what it is, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, was that really a pay-per-view worthy fight?
No, not really, but you know what? I'm going to support promoters when they give us discounts on pay-per-views. When they charge, you know, $75-$80, you know, and I don't think it's worth it, I'm not going to buy it. But when they're nice enough to give us discounts, I'm going to support them.
Well, was that really a discount?
Yeah,
well,
they
knew they couldn't sell that. No, they don't. No, it wasn't. They couldn't sell that fight at $80.
No, but
you
know what?
$80 for that fight. That fight should have been on pay-per-view. Period.
No, I agree, Eric. But if they're going to make it, if they're going to put more fights on pay-per-view, lower the price. More people will buy them.
But they're not. The reason it was low is because there was two no names on there, and I say no names because they're not casual. Nobody casual knows these two guys.
No, this was a hardcore boxing person. This was not made for casuals.
For sure. They're all made for casuals, Robert. They all want to have casuals on there. That's what drives the pay-per-views.
Well,
you think a million hardcores get together? There's not a million hardcores out there.
Well, here's the thing. I talked about this afternoon in my video.
That was a good video, by the way. Let me just jump in here real quick, B. And I hate to cut you off.
Sure.
But Beeb did a video this afternoon. Beeb is like the master of coming up with topics. You know, here we kind of stick to the format and everything, but Beeb comes out with great topics all the time during the week and everything like that. If you guys didn't listen to his show this afternoon, guys, go listen to it. It's definitely worth the follow. Definitely worth the watch, man. Good stuff, Beeb.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
So these fights aren't on pay-per-view because they want them to be on pay-per-view. They're on pay-per-view because of necessity. They have no choice but to put them on pay-per-view because in order to pay these guys, the network like Showtime or Fox, whatever, they're looking at these fights and they're saying, well, so-and-so wants this amount of money, so-and-so wants that amount of money. We're not gonna pay that amount of money for this fight. So this is what we'll give you, and you put it on pay-per-view. We don't want to give up the spot, right? Because we don't have the advertising. We can't get the advertising revenue for this fight that we need because we don't think we'll make any money on this fight. So what they do is they'll use their pay-per-view arm, right? Fox pay-per-view, and that way cost them less money, right? So that there's less financial burden on the network, and then they're putting the financial burden on the promoter, right? Because Luis Ortiz was guaranteed $500,000, Charles Martin was guaranteed $300,000, right? And they got a 50-50 split in the pay-per-view, right? So this puts the network in a situation where the network has their budget, and they're saying to themselves, "We're not going to spend a lot of money on these fights. We're not going to invest our time slot and our advertisement revenue. We're not going to be able to get the advertisement spots, whatever. If we put it on regular Fox, we'll end up losing money here. So we put the financial burden on the promoter, and that's why these fights are on pay-per-view, because they can't get the date from Fox. Fox won't give them the date. Showtime can't afford to give them the date, right? They can't afford to give them the slots, right, because their budget went dry towards the end of the year. So that's why they had to put them on pay-per-view, because once again, less of a financial burden for the network, right? So the network is skimping on PBC right now, Fox and Showtime.
Well,
they're not looking.
What's the percentage be that they get to keep on that pay-per-view?
Because
clearly they can't keep all of it.
No,
it's not split down
so,
that middle. Now
so
I know the company takes 50%. I get that, but
it's not 50% anymore. The cable companies get 40%.
Okay.
Right. And after that, once that 40% is gone, then the fighters split the rest of it. So say that was $40 that pay per view, right? I would guess how many pay per view buys you think that did?
60.
I would say it did over 100,000.
Dude, you're crazy.
Let's say it did 100,000.
That's four million.
That's 4 million, right?
Figure 50% of that, 2 million goes to cable.
Well, they're gonna get 60% of that. The fighters will get 60% of that. Because only 40 goes to the cable companies now. It used to be more, but not as much now, from what I was told. Right? So the fighters are gonna split 60% of that, right?
Well, Fox, King KO says Fox has got to get their cut too. That's true.
No, they don't. They put up the guarantees. Fox is basically, you know, they the way that they are structured, Fox is giving them money. They have a budget, right? So
now Fox may not make money.
But how do they make money?
They aren't looking to make a profit on this. They're looking.
But if Errol Spence fights, I mean, they don't make money on advertising or anything. I mean, the promoter and everything, I would imagine, gets the advertising, and there's no advertising on pay-per-view really anyway. But
no. How
do they don't get a cut? I would say, like, the boxers would, I would think that the boxers, you know, once they get their cut of the money, like the promoters and everything, or once the cable company takes their money, the boxers, have to take a percentage of that pay-per-view gate.
Here's the thing. Fox is getting the money from the sponsors, and they're not getting advertisement, but they're sponsorships and stuff like that. They're getting their money from the gate and all of that. Right?
Well, the promoters get their money from the gate, no?
They know the Fox gets a percentage of that. So Fox will get I think Fox gets 10% of that, if I'm not mistaken. I think Fox gets – no, Fox doesn't get 40%.
I don't think that's a little bit too high, I think.
The cable companies get 40%,
right?
Fox gets like 10%.
When did they change it to 40%? I know it was 50%.
Yeah. Actually, someone like – I think D-Style was telling me that they changed it because he used to work for Dish.
Yeah.
So I think Fox gets 10% of that, if I'm not mistaken. You're right. The promoter gets the live gate. You're correct. So 40% goes to the cable. So then you take another 10, and that goes to the cable company. So Fox, you get 240,000, right? So subtract 240,000 from that 2.4 million, whatever. What did I say? 240,000 or 240? So the fighters split roughly like 2,150,000. So divide that by 50.
Lil Penny says, and I don't, again, I don't know how accurate, he said the Fox gets 40%. I get you.
They don't get 40%. That's
right,
that's
no, but what he's saying is 60% of it goes to the boxes, which would make sense to me. Now, whether it's accurate or not, I don't know.
No, you have to pay the cable provider.
No, once the cable provider takes, We're talking about the cable providers already taking that. So you got 2 million to divvy up because you did 100,000 buys, you know, theoretically did 100,000 buys. You take that, save the 50%, that's 2 million. Now you have 2 million to play with. Okay.
Yeah, but the but Fox does have to get a portion of that pay-per-view as well.
Right. So maybe they get like
10% of that.
Yeah.
So 60%, because you got to think that the promoter, they're not going to do all this for free. But I don't know.
If that did 100,000 pay-per-view buys, both fighters would end up getting roughly $1 million in pay-per-view revenue.
Probably less than that. Probably a little bit less. But yeah.
Didn't I hear a rumor, guys, that Fox was eventually going to get out of the PBC deal eventually?
They're still there. They're still there. I can't imagine that they're happy with the stuff that's getting put on. That much I can tell you.
Because Eric, the reason why I bring this up, how many networks will put fight cards both on Christmas Day on regular Fox and then New Year's Day on pay-per-view? I would imagine that the people...
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. You know, we completely trashed that idea on Christmas Day because we saw the gate there. I don't know how many people were actually at the event live, but it wasn't many, I can tell you that, because they couldn't even hide that on the screen when you're showing it. Tons of empty seats.
Can I jump in real quick? The standard breakdown as far as money is concerned is a 10%, like I said, 10% fee off the top of the distributor. And it says 45 for the cable and the promoter.
Okay.
And so basically 55 gets taken out of there. So the fighters are essentially getting 45% of what's left over.
Would you do me a huge favor, Beam? Can you send me that link, please?
Sure.
Thank you so much.
I'm here right now.
I read this
somewhere else too. So Fox gets 10% off the top, and the cable provider gets I thought it was 40, but it's actually 45%. So I stand corrected.
Yeah, I've followed boxing since the early 70s, and I can never remember a time where we actually had a fight card on Christmas Day. And then we had an actual pay-per-view on New Year's Day. I mean, now I don't know if COVID had anything to do with these particular dates. And these were fights that were already scheduled, and they had to find slots for them. But as a boxing fan, I enjoyed it because I'll watch fights whenever they're on. If I can find them, I'll watch them. But I cannot imagine a lot of people spending their time on Saturdays on a Christmas Day or New Year's Day watching boxing.
Well, we were both wrong, I'll tell you what, because I got the numbers right here. Vito Malecki, who fought on Christmas Day in an empty, looked like an empty arena to me, I mean, there wasn't many people there, averaged 1.8 million viewers on that card. That is a monster number. So
and tell them the number
of the arena. But they were actually watching this on TV. Beeb also gave me the number that it peaked close to 3 million at 2.6 or 2.7 million.
Yeah, we were wrong.
We're dead wrong.
And I tweeted out immediately when I got those numbers that I was wrong.
And I immediately, once I saw those numbers, immediately tweeted at Beeb that he was wrong as well. So,
I would have never guessed that many people would have watched on Christmas Day. Wow.
I wouldn't have either. It was second only to the NBA.
Yeah. Wow. That's because remember there were NFL games that day too. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable. It was an interesting pay-per-view. But I definitely came away with some definite impressions. I think some fighters are going to have difficulty in the future. If they don't improve, and, like I said, there's a couple that are on their way out if they're not careful. So, that's just my opinion of what I saw on Saturday night.
All right, man. All right, Robert, we're going to get rolling here. Stay on the line. I'm going to put you on hold, so stay on the line for us. 443, you're live. Baltimore.
Yes, sir. It's Troy from Baltimore. How's everybody doing?
Troy, how
hey,
are you?
Hey, what's going on, my man? Happy New Year to yourself.
What's going on?
Shout out to Troy. He comes on the stream once in a while. He comes on the stream every once in a while, man. He's a good person to talk with and debate with. I like the guy.
There you go.
I got a question for you. I'm not really a numbers guy. I could care less, but how many – do you know what the numbers were for the for garbage on Saturday?
No, not yet. That won't be coming out. Probably Wednesday is usually the time for that.
And here's the thing, Troy. If you've been noticing lately, let me just put this point out there real quick. I don't want to eat up your time, but if you notice, they haven't been releasing the numbers because when the numbers aren't good, they don't release them. Right.
That's right.
Back in the day, we always knew what the numbers
always.
Were. Now all of a sudden we don't get them anymore.
Now, mm-hmm. I want to talk to the other gentleman off to the with the headphones on. Right?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Do you know who
yes.
Mike McCollum is? You do?
Mike McCollum, the body snatcher.
Okay,
yes.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I'm just making sure because there's so many content providers on here that talk boxing where they don't study boxing, they don't know because your co-host here seems to think that Usyk is bigger than Mike McCollum and everything as far as his status and all of that. Do you agree with that?
As far as his experience or as far as
I said, he's, I said Usyk is a his better status. Fighter is a better fighter than Mike McCollum.
Yeah.
Olympic pedigree. Olympic pedigree, accomplishments. I think he's done more
with the pedigree. Yeah, but it's tough to say. Because they are in two different divisions. It's tough to say they are in two different divisions.
Okay.
Now, listen, with the Olympic pedigree, that makes a bigger difference as far as is he a better fighter. Has he fought better people?
It's
tough to say.
He fought. Okay, so what
you're saying. Usyk's not retired yet.
True. Very true.
You're comparing.
Hold on, let me finish. What you're saying is anybody that went to the Olympics – is going to be better because of their pedigree. Leon Spinks went to the Olympics.
No, it adds.
I'll tell you why.
Did.
Because he's been the undisputed champion. He was the undisputed all the belts.
Okay.
And now,
what's
he got? Like three
field.
Of the four belts now.
So is Holyfield.
Yeah, Holyfield.
I mean,
sure.
But you have to look in his career. He's not the first to do anything. Mike McCollum put 154 pounds on the map. Him. He did that.
No, he did it.
Mike McCollum made
Tommy Hearns. Tommy Hearns was an outstanding.
Yeah. Tommy
Hearns
was
a better 154 pounder. You think
Tommy
Hearns beat Mike McCollum?
There. He was a visitor.
You think Tommy Hearns
beat
Mike McCollum, Joe?
No. Listen to me. Mike McCollum used to spar. He used to be a crunk. He used to be with Crunk, and he used to beat Hearns. They used to spar every day. Tommy Hearns is the only man. Mike McCollum is the only man that Tommy couldn't land his right hand on flush. This is coming out of Tommy's trainer's mouth, Emmanuel Stewart. Not
McCollum
mine.
Was a good fighter, man.
Troy, let me ask you a question.
Right?
McCollum was very good.
Let me just ask you a question, because in my opinion, you're what I like to call a nostalgia guy. No one from the present day of fighting can ever be better than the old timers. You remind
that's
me of one of those types
true.
Of people.
That's absolutely not true. Where'd you get that?
I agree with that.
That's my opinion.
Where'd
you
get that
I'm
from?
Not saying it's factual. That's just my opinion.
Exactly. That's an opinion. It's
provide
wrong.
Me evidence.
It's two left
provide
feet.
Me evidence.
It's wrong as two left feet.
Right, provide me evidence that I'm wrong. Name one fighter in recent years that you think is better than an old timer.
Why don't you give me an old timer's name and we'll go from there. Go ahead.
All right.
Let
me ask you this.
Yes.
So I believe, in my opinion.
I just need a name,
right?
Partner. Please, just give me a name, please.
All right. Usyk and McCollum. You think McCollum's better, right?
I know he's.
Do you think?
He's a waste, though, guys.
Well, let's try to get two guys in the same weight class.
Yes, okay. Please. The ball's in your court.
Two guys in the same weight class. You know, this is where it's tough. This is where I may have to agree with you.
Wow.
Now, in my opinion, let me ask you this. Do you think Tyson Fury – no, this is great. Do you think Tyson Fury would beat Joe Frazier?
That's a good question. And I have to look at everything, the height and so forth and so on, the fact that Joe's very relentless and comes from – he attacks from only one side because he was blind in one eye. Did you know that?
I did know that, yeah.
Did you know that? Yeah, he was blind in one eye.
Yep. Did you also know this?
I'm working.
That he could not extend his – did you know about his left arm? He got in an accident on farming, right, one day, and he could not bend his arm out all the way. That's why he had such a great hook. He couldn't bend his elbow all the way because he injured his arm.
You know why he's had such a strong left hand?
I'm going to say Fury, if he would just box him, then he would win on points. He would box him, but
so do you
he's going to go through him. Joe's relentless.
Do you think Tyson Fury is a more talented fighter than Joe Frazier all around skill-wise? Could he do more things?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's
all right.
He's a more multifaceted fighter than Frazier is. Yes.
Do you think Tyson Fury would beat Rocky Marciano? Do you think he would beat Rocky Marciano?
That's another tough one because he is relentless too.
That's not
wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. He's relentless. He's relentless and he don't stop. And both of these cats can take a punch, and Fury's not a puncher. He's only a puncher against Wilder. But so I would say, again, if he boxes him, he wins, period.
Okay.
It's like this, guys, and we play this game, the fantasy fights and everything like that, but realistically, there's no fighter from the past that would beat a fighter from the present. It's just that simple. Because stronger and faster.
You said there's no fighter from the past that'll beat a fighter from the present?
There's only one division. There's two divisions where I think that the old timers were. In my opinion, there's two divisions that I think really stand out for the guys in the 70s and 80s. Welterweight and middleweight. I think Ray Leonard would beat Keith Thurman. He would beat Errol Spence.
He doesn't beat anybody from this era.
He doesn't.
Yes,
he doesn't.
Ray Leonard doesn't beat anybody from this era?
Guys,
you're not hearing me, guys.
Listen to me, what I'm saying.
No, because you're not saying anything.
Athletes, you're not listening. Athletes are bigger, stronger, and faster than they were back then.
He was 5'10".
I've been hearing that for good.
Stronger,
faster. Can I say something? Can I say something? Athletes
yes.
have been
I think
big.
Ray
I've been
Leonard
hearing that
tough,
for years.
Let me say something, please.
If these guys are so much better than the guys that came before them, why can't they break their records? They're so much better than them. They're so much far above them. Why aren't they breaking their records? Why?
Okay, let's look at baseball. Let's look at baseball for a minute.
We're talking boxing. I'm not looking at baseball whatsoever.
I'm trying to make a parallel here. All right? So we had pitchers back in the day, like say the 1934 St. Louis Cardinals. They had those pitchers on there that won like 30 or 40 games, something ridiculous. There's nobody that can win 30 or 40 games now. Do you think that's because they've gotten weaker?
Why not? They're bigger, stronger, faster.
Exactly. Everybody is bigger, stronger, and faster than they were then. So
everybody
the competition isn't like it was
in their era, too.
Errol Spence was not faster than Sugar Ray Leonard, in my opinion.
May not have been faster, but he's going to be
got
bigger.
Slower feet.
He's going to be stronger.
Errol Spence can't touch Sugar Ray Leonard.
Trained differently.
Sugar Ray was school Errol Spence.
But Ray Leonard, Ray Leonard was a finisher.
But here's the deal.
You think Mikey Garcia would go 12 rounds with Ray Leonard?
I do. But it's only an opinion. It's only an opinion, guys, because nobody can prove this point. I can't prove you wrong, and you can't prove me wrong.
You're right. I'll concede
that. You're
right.
Absolutely
this,
correct
this
on that one. I'll agree with you 100% on that
it.
One. We'll agree with it.
Quick factoid. Quick factoid. Real quick. Quick factoid about Joe Frazier. Quick. See if you guys know this. Quick fact about Joe Frazier. Why was his left hand so strong?
He used to bail Hay back in the South, right?
Huh?
Because he
did. But go ahead, Beeb.
Because of the injury he had.
No. Because his father couldn't use his left hand, and they worked on the farm together, so he would always have to use his left hand to help his father out. That's where he said he developed the strength from.
But he also couldn't extend it, so his arm was like a natural. It was a natural hook position.
Yeah,
because he couldn't bend it.
That's crazy.
Because he had an injury.
Craziness.
Fun fact: the beep can't lock his arms out all the way either. Look at this.
Fun fact, though, you can knock the beep out quick.
There's only one record that will never, ever be broken in any sport. One, and it happens to be a boxing record. It'll never be broken. Wilfredo Benitez, 17-year-old world champion.
That is an incredible. You know what? I never really know why I thought of that before, but not recently. That's an incredible statistic.
I think 17. That's what were you doing when you were 17? You know what
17.
I mean? I mean, really, like, think about it, guys. Like, everybody who's out there, think about what in the world you were doing at 17.
That's when the Beeb had his, entered the, well, I don't want to get into what I was doing at 17. Let's keep that off the radar right now.
At least he was nice to you, Beeb.
That's
he was
a
nice
boxing record. But, yeah, listen, easy. Y'all have a good night, and I'll be honest with you. As far as it goes, the old school against the new school, they had – actually, so the old school would beat them because they trained harder. They didn't fight once a year. How the hell do you hone your skills fighting once a year? So no, I have a good night.
There you go. All right, man. Thank you, Troy.
I think Leonard versus Crawford would be an awesome fight. But Leonard was a big Walter weight. He was 5'10". He had long arms, and he was a good puncher. He was a good finisher.
You know,
Ray Leonard was an awesome welterweight.
We do this across platforms in sports where you talk about, you know, the 1927 Yankees versus, you know, this year's or the 90 Red Sox or what are the 90 Reds, you know. And then, again, you think about, like, you compare stats and everything like that. But when you look at those guys and how they played, and this is what we did when we broke this down, like some of those guys, like from the 1920s who were just such great champions, Joe Gans was the one, such a great champion and stuff like that. And then you watch them on tape, and it's like this. Like, they get killed.
Yeah, but Leonard and killed. Ray Robinson.
Listen,
Ray,
I know you love Leonard. You get killed in this era.
Can I show you? I'm going to show you something. Give me 1 second. You know the shoulder roll?
Yeah. Floyd Mayweather Sr. was doing it, so was Sugar Ray Leonard.
Sugar Ray Leonard wasn't doing it. I'm going to show you who was doing it, and I'm going to show you. I have a statue of him doing it. Watch this. Give me 1 second.
Okay. Robinson, haplotype says Robinson beats any welterweight in the last 12 years. I'm assuming he means Sugar Ray Robinson. He doesn't. Go look at his style, man. Go pull up the tapes on his style. Go to YouTube and look at the tapes on his style. Sugar Ray was great back in his day, but no way he beats anybody right now.
So this, look at this. That's a shoulder roll right there. See that?
And
I do. That's taken from an actual, you know, footage of the fight. Someone gave me this. Look at this.
That's cool. I like that.
Same thing. That's James Toney right there. That's how James Toney fights. And what do they both have in common? They're both mid. This is a Midwest thing. A lot of Kronk fighters do this.
A lot of guys do that, yeah.
Lennox Lewis started doing this when he worked with Emmanuel Stewart, keeping that hand right in the middle. See where the backhand is? I know you're not a big fan of this, but you know why this hand is low? Because this hand is right up in front of the face. So this hand can move both ways. It's like a windshield wiper. It goes like this, then it goes like that, or it can go like that, right?
And you know, let me tell you, too, what that style does. It's very effective with a jab. Believe it or not, because your body is turned and your jab gets there and it's hard to measure distance on that thing. If you're fighting a guy like that, it's hard to measure that distance because it's deceptive.
Because here's the thing. Most fighters are used to the jab coming out straight, right? So when you used to see Tommy Hearns throw the jab, he would throw it from down here, and he'd throw like a flick jab.
Yes.
He would throw it like a flick. Boom, like that, right? So first of all, the reason why this is so effective, you kind of made the point too, but I'm going to expand upon that. See where the hand is down low?
Mm-hmm.
It's out of the sight of the fighter.
Yes.
So how do you know when a punch is coming if it's not in your vision?
Well, that jab and that sweep hook.
See where that jab is?
Yep.
So you're used to a jab coming out straight.
Yes.
And you got a jab coming up with like a flick jab, right?
And you know what's wicked from that stance is a hook. That left hook is wicked from there too because you can't see it because it's already down.
Yeah, and look how far out in front that is.
Yeah.
Right? So this is where a lot of fighters patent their style off. To my knowledge, he was one of the first guys to perfect that style. Wait a
minute. Tony?
No, this is Sugar Ray Robinson.
I thought you were talking about James Toney.
But James Toney
Robinson, but I thought
James
you
Toney,
James Toney. That's
James
what
Toney. Look at his stance. And James Toney's stance is exactly the same. Bernard Hopkins' stance is very similar to that. Floyd Mayweather's stance is very similar to that.
To me,
so this is what I'm trying to say. These guys got this. This is a Midwest thing,
mm-hmm.
right? This is a Midwest thing. James Toney's a Midwest guy. Mayweather's a Midwest guy.
Where did it originate, though? I thought it originated. What's the difference? It's the shoulder roll and there's the Philly shell. They're both very similar.
Very similar.
Very similar.
Yeah. That's correct, Boxing with Sean Burley fought that way too. It is a version of the shoulder roll. Look where his shoulder is. It's in front right there. And his face and his hand is right there in front of his face. That is a version of the shoulder roll. Yes, it is. Now that's how you stand, and then when the punch comes, then you roll the shoulder forward.
But you know, his chin is supposed to be tucked underneath that shoulder. It's supposed to be like that. It is supposed to be like that because when he throws that jab out, his chin has to be tucked. That's why Hearns got knocked out. You remember that by Iran Barkley? Every one of the punches that got Hearns in trouble was a right hand that he got hit flush with.
Hearns had a problem with left hooks.
He also had a problem with right hands.
Yeah. This is a version of the shoulder roll right here.
It's a version of it, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But again, you have to focus on where the shoulder is. The shoulder is parallel to the face right there.
Yeah, you'll see different versions of everything.
The shoulder is closer to the face. Where when a traditional boxing stance, the shoulder is out more. The shoulder's out like this in a traditional boxing stance.
Yes.
His shoulder is closer to the center of his face. He's more angular. His upper torso is more angular, right, than a traditional boxing stance. So this is where it all originated from. This guy, and like boxing with Sean said, Charles Burley. That's a beautiful statue.
I like it.
I had this for about, this was like 20 years, this is maybe over 20 years old. Steve got this when he was a teenager.
That's awesome, man.
That's beautiful.
Very cool, man. Very cool. All right, guys. So let's move forward here. Let's see here. All right, so we talked about the Nomeki fight. 1.8 million viewers peaked at about 2.7, 2.6. Eddie Hearn wants to make Wilder versus Chisora. That's what he was quoted as saying. He wants to make Wilder and Chisora. You know, that's a bad fight. It's a bad fight, really, for both guys, I think. It's a bad fight, really, for Chisora. You think Chisora's going to stand up against that right hand, Beeb? I think he gets dropped in three rounds.
Here's the thing.
He's not that great. I mean, that guy's on his last legs, man. Why would you put him in there with that guy?
I don't know how Wilder is going to be if he does come back, though. But I would have to definitely favor Wilder because it's almost impossible to not think that Wilder won't land. If he can land it on Slick Fury, then he can land it on Chisora. So he respectful to Tejora, but he could be 70% of himself and still be dangerous enough to beat Barrett Chisora, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too.
Well, once again, Chisora is an inside fighter. He's going to come. It would be an entertaining fight as well, as long as it lasted. So I wouldn't hate it.
MEZ Box says, you guys think Dillian White could beat guys like Ernie Shavers and Ken Norton? Those guys can correct me, and he got swept by Povetkin. Yes.
No, I do not. Yes. I don't think Dillian White could beat those guys.
Yes.
I'm going to say no.
Absolutely he could. Again, would you guys rather have a 57 Chevy or a 2021 Tesla? It's that simple.
I'd rather have a 57 Chevy.
It's because you're a moron, all right?
The classic.
Because you're a moron, son. What outruns it? What runs faster, the Tesla or the Chevy? What runs faster?
I'm looking for other things, though.
I'm looking for, when I'm cruising, the only thing I look for, son, is a winner, baby.
Listen,
that's all I
when
do.
When I'm cruising down Morrissey Boulevard.
You're living in
baby.
The past, baby. How many girls do you think I can pick up in a Tesla versus a 57 Chevy? Come on. How many girls can you pick up in a Tesla versus a 57 Chevy? Stop it.
Chevy is a classic.
Stop it. You're living in the past, son. You guys are all living in the past.
Put a poll up. Everyone's going to want the 57
Chevy. Put a poll up. You guys are all living in the past.
How much is the 57 Chevy worth right now in mint condition?
$16.
Chevy worth
$16, son.
Mint condition.
$47.99.
Okay. It's worth up to $100,000.
And let me tell you, you get what you pay for.
But let me ask you this. All cars depreciate at a horrible rate, right? Substantial rate, right?
Maybe.
That car is 64 years old, and it's worth $100,000. How much will a Tesla be worth in 64 years? How much will a 2021 Tesla be worth in 64 years?
Half the girls don't like Teslas. I don't know how he knows that, but hey, it is what it is, you know.
Haplotype is a G. he is a pimp daddy.
I guess
don't
they like Pintos. Maybe guys like Teslas. I don't know.
Daddy. I'm looking at a 57 Chevy right now, man. Come on, that's a classic car.
JC says the Bang Bus is the way to go. I'm not going to argue with that.
How can you not like the 57
Chevy?
Very
good dunce cap.
Come on.
Again, the Tesla runs better. It's faster. It looks better. It's more comfortable. I can go on for days, son. All you got is it's a classic. That's it.
Answer my question.
What is it?
How much would a 2021 Tesla be worth in 64 years?
I have no idea because I don't have a crystal ball.
But it depreciates.
And none of us can answer that. None of us can really answer that.
Is a Tesla a classic? Yes or no?
I don't know. Nobody knew that the 57 Chevy was going to be a classic.
I'll educate you. It's not a classic.
Did they know in 57 that it was going to be a classic? Did they know in 57 that Chevy was going to be a classic? No.
But it is now.
They know that now. They don't know how you can't shoot into the future, son. That's my point.
Name like a Tesla is going to be a classic?
You don't know. You
in
don't know.
Years?
You
in 64
don't
years?
Know. 67 Chevelle.
Come on. Come on. George Foreman, right? And Jay Leno have car collections, right?
Yeah.
If you look at their car collections, you see all the old classic cars they have in their collection?
Yeah.
Right? What did Floyd Mayweather? He bought a Vector, right? And he tried to sell it.
Much rather have Floyd's car collection, but not here.
And he tried to sell it, right? Look how much it depreciated. He lost millions of dollars on that car.
Robert, let me tell you what. Robert is such a stick in the mud. He's such a stick in the mud.
What did he say?
He said, let's talk boxing, Eric. It's a boxing show.
Robert.
I tell you about what I want. I want to talk about Antonio Brown. I want to talk about.
Robert, stop living in a bubble.
Okay? Does, man.
There's other things out there in the world than just boxing. Right?
He's such a stick in the mud, man. Like, man, let us have our fun.
Let us do what we want.
Yeah, like, you know.
Once again, you're not the producer. You never will be. Right?
Oh,
you don't dictate.
Funny. That was messed up, man. That was messed up. I didn't even come at him like that.
I don't want to tell you what Lois said about him. He's been snooping around human resources trying to fill out applications to try to get his job back. Just letting you know that.
Wow. That's cold.
And they're not happy about it. You know, he's eating up the donuts in the break room. They're not happy about it.
Boxing trying to, what a sourpuss.
He's trying to steal friggin' free coffees and shit from the break room at human resources at Beeb Industries. telling you this guy. My New Year's resolution was to be, you know what my New Year's resolution was? To be nicer to Robbie.
Yeah, that just
but
went
guess
out the
what?
Window.
Guess what? I just broke that. I threw that.
That
threw
just
that
went
New
out
Year's
the window,
resolution.
Son.
I'm going to throw that New Year's resolution in the trash now. Fuck it.
That's a boxing show. What's the matter with you? My own. I mean, like, what? He doesn't talk about anything in his real life? Like, nothing?
So Robbie, why were you talking about football when you called in? I thought it was a boxing show. Fucking weasel hypocrite.
Oh, stop. That's gone too far. Show him some respect. He's the caller of the year. Come on.
It was nice when he called. Yeah, come on. He's
stop.
The caller of the year. Is he really the caller of the year?
Of course he's the caller of the year. What's the matter with you? I don't. Little Penny has it right on the money here. New Year's resolution, Spence versus Bud in 2022. I don't think that's going to happen, but I would be shocked if that happened, put it that way. Oh, Nacho says, Beeb is salty.
Nacho. I'm not even going to respond to that, all right? I'm going to let you have your – get your licks in right now, all right? I'm going to let you get your licks in right now.
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
Wow. It's rough. Andy Ruiz or Robert Hellenius is in the mix for Tyson Fury, Beeb. You like either one of those fights? I like the Hellenius fight. I like both fights. Both fights are dangerous, man.
I like the Ruiz fight, and obviously we can't get White next. I do want the white fight to happen, but we can't get it next because of the situation going on right now.
Okay.
So
this is what I read. All right, this is what I read, and I can't remember where it's from, but it's what I read. That the WBC has kind of backtracked and said they will offer an 80-20 split for that fight, the Dillian White fight. What is going on? Like, that's the purse that really should have been there to begin with. 75-25, 80-20. That's the challenger's purse, man.
Well, again, when people look at people have to really look at the rules closely, because Eddie Hearn is saying, oh, well, everyone's saying, well, in their rules, it says if you're the interim champ, you get 45%. No, it doesn't say that. It says you can get up to 45% and at the WBC's discretion. If you read their rules, and I've said this several times, and you heard me say this several times, I sound like a broken record. Ever since they got sued by Gianfranco Rocchietti, right, back in 2004, and they were almost bankrupted by this guy. Right after.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Very shortly after that, if you started noticing how they were wording things in their rules, right, at our discretion, can be changed at any time. We can vote on the board, could be voted on by the board of governors, and the board of governors have to determine this and that. So again, you know, you listen to people on YouTube saying, oh, the WBC is breaking their own rules. No, they're not breaking their own rules, because their own rules have what I like to call caveats in them, pretty much escape clauses in them. If you read them closely, the WBC has the right based, you know, when you ask Mauricio Suleiman a question. Oh, it's a case-by-case basis. It's at the WBC's discretion. All you got to do is read the rules. All you got to do is read the rules. Back in the day, number one and number two used to be would fight, and number one would be the mandatory challenger. Not anymore. It's at the WBC's discretion. That's why you have guys who are ranked number five becoming mandatories. Back in the day, that never used to happen. Because once again, the WBC changed up the rules. And why do they do that? Because if they could make a better, bigger money fight, more lucrative fight, then that's all they care about. WBC is only concerned about the WBC, right? And again, they're not going to do Dillian White any favors after all the shit he talked about them. And again, I'm not defending the WBC. I don't think they're right here. But if you're Dillian White and you want to deal with the WBC, and you're out there suing the WBC, and you're out there trashing the WBC, and you know you're throwing the WBC under the bus, then why do you even want to fight for their title? Why didn't you fight for Joshua when you got offered that fight, right? Why didn't you were ranked number one by the WBO? Why didn't you fight Joseph Parker when he was champion, right? So I don't understand Dillian White here, but I and I'm on his side. I think he should get more than 20%. I think he should get 35%. But at the end of the day, you know, the WBC is not going to go out of their way to do you any favors. This is retribution time for the WBC right now. They're not very happy with you.
I would agree with that. 100% I would agree with that. Francis Ngannou, the UFC heavyweight, the current UFC heavyweight champion, Francis Ngannou, says he wants to make a crossover to boxing, says he wants to face Wilder or Fury. I'll be honest, I don't think he wants either. Everybody's trying to hop on this bandwagon with the money and everything like that. Listen, man, he's got a fight coming up, what is it, the 22nd or 29th? It's one of those. And he's fighting that guy, Ciryl Gane, I think it is. That guy, he's going to win that fight. I think Ciryl's going to win that fight, man. Do you think that, you know, as long as he's under contract with the UFC, he's not getting that fight? This is his last fight on UFC contract, which is why he's talking reckless. Do you think that he actually gets that fight, like a Wilder or a Fury?
No, I do not.
Really?
I don't think Wilder would fight him. Fury may do it.
I mean, is there money to be made? I mean, Francis Ngannou, I mean, MMA is bigger than boxing right now. Is he really a household name?
He's not a Conor McGregor.
No.
He's not a Khabib.
Not a McGregor.
Right?
Yeah.
Not
John
Khabib.
Jones. Chael
Sonnen.
None of those.
Is he even a Daniel? I don't think he's a Daniel Cormier either, right?
I don't think so. I mean, I know a lot of people know him, but I don't know. Corey Lee, thank you so much. He said, salute Eric and Beams. Boxing is a business first. I agree with that. I do agree with that. But I don't know. I don't know if that fight, is there money to really be made in that fight?
Yeah, I don't think he's...
Is it
again,
as big as other fights out there?
He's not like a marquee. He's not like one of those guys like Conor McGregor and John... Like we just mentioned, John Jones.
Right.
Not on that status, in my opinion. George St. Pierre, that was a guy who I would have loved to have seen get a boxing match.
St. Pierre?
Yeah.
St. Pierre is very good. Very good.
He's a very aggressive, entertaining guy.
From this day, you'll be my new fool.
508, you're live.
Georgie, long time no hear. How you been?
Hey, yo! What's happening, people?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, I heard you guys give me some type of credibility to the WBC Mafia.
I'm not giving them credibility. I'm just telling you how they operate, bro.
What type of angle are you trying to, like, dignify these motherfuckers' existence, bro?
You gotta tell you what they do and why they do it.
Damn, B,
man,
that's
the
burn, bro.
Tomorrow.
Oh, my God. Yo, listen.
Go ahead, Burn.
The WBC is an abomination. This thing got nothing but a sentimental value attached to it. That's it. You used to see Muhammad Ali carrying the chair. You used to see the greatest back in the days. When he subtle means something. So when these people are talking about the WBC is the most prestige belt in boxing, I don't know what the fuck these niggas saying, bro. Not only that, how come all the hardcore don't stop him on the track like, yo, 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 chill the fuck out. What are you talking about here? That mafia? What we saying here, B, because I don't get it. I just don't understand how could you even talk to these people like you put them on some type of fucking credible position. Like they got the right to do what? What you mean?
I think you're misinterpreting what I'm saying. You're misinterpreting what I'm saying.
Go
ahead,
their
rules are written a certain, if their rules are written a certain way, I don't agree with the way their rules are written. I'm just saying that their rules are written in a certain way where they can pretty much do whatever they want at any time. The reason why they did that is because they were so afraid when they got sued. So now they put all these stipulations in these rules and all these caveats in these rules to basically protect themselves. I'm just pointing out what they did. I'm not saying, wow, that's great that they did that. I'm just telling you what they did and why they did it. That's all I'm saying. I think it sucks.
You just got to come off clean and tell the audience, you just got to come out clean and tell everybody that's hearing you right now, how big are the checks from fucking Mauricio? How could you be carrying Mauricio's fucking agenda throughout the show and bamboozling people to have some type of empathy for fucking the WBC? Let me get this
straight.
Boy,
that's a great point, Georgie.
Time.
Why are you shooting?
What?
Why are you shooting the messenger? I didn't make. You should be. You should be calling out Mauricio Sulaiman. Why don't you call Mauricio Sulaiman out? Why don't you contact him and voice your criticism to him? Because when Nestor Gibbs and myself interviewed Mauricio Sulaiman, we fucking grilled his ass. We asked him a lot of tough questions. We had him backpedaling. I asked him a question. So moving forward, if someone tests positive for this drug, what are you going to do? Are you going to give that person a pass too? If someone else tests positive for phenamine, how are you going to handle this situation moving forward? Oh, it's a case by case basis.
And you know what he did, Georgie? He took that answer at face value and thanked him for it. Call out his hypocrisy, Georgie. Call out the Beeb's hypocrisy. Do it. Put him on the grill. You saw the interview. It was horrible.
If you're still shocked by anything that WBC or any of these sanctioning bodies do, then you haven't been paying attention the last 30 years.
Baby, what I'm saying is this. Let me get my point across. We cannot
tell
give people any type of relevance whatsoever. We got to talk down to these people, bro. You want to put these people on the conversation like, nah, every so-called hardcore fans out there should be fuck you, WBC. Whatever the fuck
they
fucking
trying to make them famous.
Whatever they're doing, we're not backing it up.
How can you not
talk to them, Georgie?
How can you not talk about a sanctioning body? Because fighters fight for championship belts. And they fight for the championship belt.
You're too civilized
the
about
body.
It, baby. We passed our point.
Yeah.
We passed our point on being civilized with these
That's
people.
Right.
You want to talk to these people
Come
like
on,
they deserve to be in the same table talking to you? Nah, these niggas don't even
Oh, so you want me to be a bomb
the
thrower?
They fuck you so many times.
Oh, man,
you want me to be
fuck you?
I never
motherfuckers
seen this before.
Die.
Wow.
So you want me? You want me to be a bomb
crushing you, Beeb?
You want me to
He's
be a bomb
crushing
thrower.
You, Beeb?
You want me to
Beeb,
be
are you watching
player?
This?
As soon
Beeb,
as
he's killing you, son.
He's on the phone.
Beeb.
I can't watch him. What are you talking about?
Listen,
I'm watching the monitor.
Beeb.
I'm watching you. I got to step in. I never seen Beeb on the ropes like this, man. I'm getting ready to throw the towel.
Yo, Beeb, listen.
This is child.
You're in
this
a privileged position to interview these people.
This is
and you pay reverence to these people like everybody else. You got to let them know
yeah,
you
sure
matter
too.
Right from the gate. You cannot have no
well,
conversation with somebody that is deceiving all the time. Lies
so
and
you
simple
want me,
lies.
You want me when I'm
he doesn't
you
seen
me,
it.
You want me when I'm
you done bowed down to the man, son.
You want me to
we
just,
all
you
watched
me,
you.
You want me to just cuss him out. That's what you want me to do. That's going to be a good interview, listening to the Beeb just cuss out. Just
no,
cuss
you
out.
You just got to start the conversation oh,
man,
like
I,
this. A good point to start the conversation will be, Mr. Suleiman, after decades of this conglomerate of France Combagri, that so-called the WBC, had you have any motherfucking self of righteousness on your fucking body to turn this ball around?
Whoa.
From the gate, no boost and the sugar cutting, straight to the fucking point. But that's
easy.
The problem.
I gotta step in.
Go,
Georgie, man, I gotta step
the monster,
in, man.
The massage, try to, the monster gonna eat you, baby.
It's over, man. I gotta step in here, Georgie. Georgie, I can't let you any more damage go on, man. That's my stuff.
Wave it off.
I'm gonna wave it off, Georgie. That was rough, man.
Listen, everybody out there, support the channel, donate, don't stop. Shout out to the UK, the USA. I'm out.
Georgie, that was a beatdown. Sorry, I should have stepped in sooner, Beeb, and you know what? I apologize to you. I apologize to you because I should have stepped in early, man. I apologize, man. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to let you down like that. It just, wow. He was just throwing so fast and so furious, man. I couldn't even get in. I couldn't even get in.
We'd be all right, man.
Live to fight another day, you know what I'm saying? 804. You're live.
Hey, fellas, what's going on today, y'all? How y'all doing today? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Mr. Lee.
Fellas, how y'all doing today? Hey.
Mr. Lee, are
y'all
you ready?
Y'all have a good time, man? Y'all having a good New Year?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, man. We always have a good time here over at Beeb Industries.
Okay. Yeah, man, I wanted to call, man, because of the subject we're talking about, man. The WBC is just, the more we talk about it, man, you gotta think, man. The WBC is pretty much writing their own ship. They're doing whatever they want to do. I didn't know anything about them getting sued or whatever in 2004. But, man, it sounded like they covered their ass after that. It damn sure does sound like that. So, I mean, some of those, you know, like I was reading the stuff on the franchise belt. Even that sounded kind of bizarre, you know, at their discretion, and they got all of these different belts. You know, the only thing I don't like about the WBC is how you can win a belt, but then somebody else can have be classified the same champion after you won the belt. You know what I mean? So I was just like, that just threw me for a loop right there. I've never seen any other organization do that. Not saying they haven't, but I'm just saying I've never seen another organization do that. When another champion became champion, later they made another champion. You know what I mean? So it's like, I've never seen that in the same organization. And it's just, the more I think about the WBC, the more holes that I see in their sanctioning body. You know, it's just bad, man. It's bad news, man. Suleiman, man, it just doesn't look like it's 100% authentic. You know what I mean? Like, there's just some gray areas. But, you know, hey, as long as Floyd Mayweather keeps promoting it and keeps going to the expos and keeps, you know, saying the WBC this and WBC that, the WBC ain't going nowhere, man. The WBC ain't going no fucking way. Let's be honest, you know. This is our sport that we love called boxing. We know it's fucked up. You know what I mean? We know it's fucked up royally. You know what I mean? But it's just like, what do we do about it? You know, the only thing we can do about this is be hardcore fans and say what we can say on our platform, you know. Does that mean it's going to change? Be drilling him? Him and Ness drilling him, does that mean it's going to change? Fuck no. It's bigger than us, you know, but it's just like at the same time, are we going to just sit there and not sing at all? you know, my personal opinion about the whole situation is I think it's good that we're saying something about it because, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot of people in the that's listening haven't know a whole lot about this. You know what I mean? Didn't know how many loopholes that the WBC actually had in it. You know what I mean? They got loopholes in their belt. They got loopholes in fighting for the belt. They got loopholes, man. They got loopholes all through there, man. I mean, shit.
Loopholes for the loopholes, man.
Huh?
They got loopholes for the loopholes.
Yeah, man, it's just one of those things, man. That's just what the WBC is. And you know, moving forward with you guys, I'm not a fan of the WBC, man. The things that they're doing right now, I just think that it's not good for the sport, man. You know, we want to clean up the sport. We want people to not do drugs. We want people to fight that are clean. And, you know, the WBC is almost like, well, we'll give Canelo a pass, but we won't give this Luis Ortiz a pass or whatever like that. You know what I mean? So it's just like, you know, damn if you do, damn if you don't. And I feel like they're contradicting the fuck out of themselves every time they speak. Because it's like, you let Canelo buy on certain things. Like, yesterday I did a live, and people are still bringing up the meat situation, even though I try to explain what happened. And Canelo, to my recollection, y'all, maybe I'm wrong, but to my recollection, has Canelo tested positive after the whole meat situation?
Well, no, but here's the thing, too. Canelo did a hair test, right? And a hair Ooh. Test can detect what was in your system, I don't know, a long time prior to the test, right? You can go back a long time.
Yeah.
And the hair test revealed that it was true that the level of clenbuterol in the system was comparable to that of meat contamination, right? The amount was so small, right, that was revealed by the hair follicle test that it pretty much validated what he said. You know, they were able there, and even Victor Conti came out and said, yeah, he thinks that the Canelo story of the meat contamination was correct based on what he heard, based on the results of the hair follicle test. So no, he hasn't tested positive since then, and the hair follicle test kind of, to some degree, not in everyone's opinion, but in a lot of, you know, the hair follicle test pretty much validated what he said. In terms
what
of
about in your opinion? How do you feel about how does Eric and B view Canelo as a clean fighter or a non-clean fighter? What do you guys think?
I think he's a clean fighter.
You know, he popped. Like I said, he popped for clenbuterol. He was suspended. He did his time, but I didn't hear that he took a hair follicle test. I mean, I trust Beeb on the situation. He knows. If that's the case and it was consistent with meat contamination, because those go back. Those go back a number of months, right?
Yeah, those go back a long time, like 6 to 8 months. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, if that's the case, then that's the case. He's fine.
All right. Yeah, and one thing I just wanted to talk about, there's in 2 weeks, Joe Smith and Colin Johnson fighting. They're fighting for the WBO light heavyweight title.
Yeah.
I think for Canelo Alvarez to fight Archer Beterbiev, I feel like if Joe Smith wins, he's an ESPN top-ranked fighter, so is Archer Beterbiev. I feel like if he wins, then they're going to get the Archer Beterbiev versus Joe Smith, which I think Archer Beterbiev is going to – you know, it's not going to be an easy fight, but I just think that Archer Beterbiev is going to beat Joe Smith. Joe Smith has a very powerful punch, and we've seen Archer Beterbiev get dropped before, but I think – stylistically, Archer Beterbiev is all wrong for Joe Smith. Joe Smith has limited amateur experience. Archer Beterbiev has over 400 fights. I think that'll help him push through. And I just think that he'll win. So that being said, that'll be three belts that Bob Arum will hold for Canelo Alvarez to fight over there on ESPN. And I think that he'll take it. I think that him and, you know, I'm pretty sure Eddie Hearn might try to co-promote or something like that, if possible. But if not, Canelo and his manager, Eddie Reynoso and stuff like that, I think they can work something out with Top Rank where he could fight Archer Beterbiev next. He says he wants to you know, possibly be undisputed at 175 as well, you know, that's the easiest way to do it. You know, I think that the winner of Joe Smith, Colin Johnson, who would fight another ESPN fighter in Arthur Beterbiev, which Arthur Beterbiev I feel like will win. And then that'll be three belts that one person will hold in the next, I'd say, what, 4 months, three, 4 months, hopefully, you know, God willing. And I just think that, you know, I truly believe, you heard it here first, you guys, I'm picking Arthur Beterbiev over Canelo, man, straight up. You know, I really think that Arthur
Beterbiev. Nothing wrong with that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, yeah.
Yeah, and I really think that Arthur Beterbiev has the tools to beat him. You know, stylistically, he's a very, very hard puncher. All of those punches that Caleb Plant was hitting on Canelo, it's going to be a whole different ball game when they're coming at light heavyweight. Not only light heavyweight, Arthur Beterbiev has a, you know, I'm going to end the call after this, but Arthur Beterbiev has almost a cheat code. He won, you know, I believe the Pan Am at heavyweight, you know, over 200 pounds in the amateurs. Arthur Beterbiev did these world-class athletes, and he can actually shrink his body down to 175. That's why I don't know how much longer he can make it. You know, he had problems on the last time when he weighed in, when he just fought. So, you know, I really think that Arthur Beterbiev coming down in weight, I think he walks around, he's shredded to the gills. There's no more fat on his dude's body. If you guys seen him fight, he's probably one of the best, better in shape light heavyweights that I've seen. And I just think he's all wrong for Canelo. I mean, Canelo might put a type of stipulation or clause. We all know him for doing that. But, I mean, you know, looking at both fighters' full face value, I think Beterbiev has it if this fight is made in 2022. I don't see no problem with Arthur Beterbiev winning the fight. And that's my call, Corey. You guys stay safe. And it's snowing out here in the D&D, you guys. You guys have a good one.
All right. Be careful out there, Corey. Good deal. All right. So let's see here. Andres Lugo in the chat had said, why Suleiman doesn't force Canelo to fight the number one challenger of the world? Same reason he didn't force Floyd. Same reason he did. It's money. It's about money. He makes more sanctioning money. He's going to make more sanctioning money with a different fighter. And the sanctioning fees are all the same. But if you're fighting a bigger guy, it's going to bring more exposure to it, everything else like that. And by the way, Canelo brings in a lot of money for the WBC. That's why he can do pretty much what he wants, just like Floyd did and everybody else did. So that's kind of why, you know, that's not happening. They're all corrupt. Let's see here. That's it, guys. That's it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will catch you guys next week. Mm-hmm.